The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, is with me now, though, to kick things off. Sean, what are the scores and the doors at the moment, and how many seats remain unfilled?
So as of now, there's just 9 seats waiting to be filled across the country, and you've got 44 Fianna Fáil, 37 Sinn Féin, 37 Fine Gael, 11 Sóc Dem, 9 Labour, 3 People Before Profit, 4 Independent Ireland, 16 Independents, 2 Ain 2 and 1 Green Party. Now, by the end, like, there's a few counts ongoing, as you heard in the news there. There's also recounts underway in Cork North Central. Counting is set to resume in Cork North, Tipperary North, rather, as well, where there was a recount requested this morning. And then Cavan Monaghan and Louth are the last two that we are getting underway. I suppose Cavan Monaghan is the only one where there's could be a whisper of a question. Pauline Tully, the Sinn Féin TD, has lost her seat. It's expected that she will elect Cathy Bennett, her Sinn Féin colleague, but Sarah O'Reilly of Ain 2 is slightly ahead of her. So you could foresee a possibility where a Sinn Féiner elects an Ain 2 given their history, but it seems unlikely to happen there. And then Louth is the only other one where the thing to be decided is who will be the Fianna Fáil TD for Louth. So it looks as though it will be fairly similar in the first two. Two Sinn Féin, one Labour, one Fine Gael. And then you've got Aaron McGreehan of Fianna Fáil and Alison Cumann. McGreehan has a good 2,500 or more votes ahead. However, just being excluded now is John McGahan, obviously, of Dundalk and Fine Gael. He's been excluded, put McGreehan into the lead. Next going out is Kevin Callan, who is in Drogheda and would be geographically favouring Cumann. But I'd say McGreehan probably has it.
So what's the magic number? Remind us, what does any coalition need to get to, a prospective coalition? And after all those counts are completed, everything you've just run through, what do you expect each number to be beside each party?
Yeah, so 87 is the magic number once you exclude the count court, 174 seats in this next door. So that is an absolute bare majority. And the calculations that we have done and that we think will shake out is 48 Fianna Fáil and 38 Fine Gael with 39 for Sinn Féin. So combined, for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, that would be 86. Actually, if you wanted to take a sort of a slightly cynical view on it, if you combined the outgoing government of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens, they'd be exactly 87, just a bare majority. But of course, Roger O'Gorman is not going to go into government. He will be on the opposition benches at the moment. So they are very, very close. And that, in many ways, makes the arithmetic of getting to a government easier because they now have options.
How much or how closely do those numbers, Sean, reflect what opinion polls were in the last couple of weeks before voting?
Well, it's fascinating because when you look at the overall national figure, firstly, the exit poll was very wrong, and that's annoyed many in Fianna Fáil, but that's what they said it would be. It got Fine Gael pretty bang on, but it seriously overestimated Sinn Féin by about 2 percentage points, and then underestimated Fianna Fáil by a similar margin. So they effectively flipped. Now, for Fianna Fáil, they have definitely gotten a seat bonus. They have about 22% of the vote, but will get about 27% of the seats when this shakes out, showing that this time they were more transfer friendly than in parts of the country. They managed their vote an awful lot better and so are coming out the better for it. It's kind of interesting. So we spent so much of the last few years looking at inflation, and there's a certain amount of inflation factored into this Dáil because there are 14 extra seats. So if you look at it overall, really Fine Gael and Sinn Féin have just done as well as they did in 2020, but added inflation on. They've just added on 4 seats in there, or 3 seats, it's going to be, look like, in the case of Fine Gael, and 2 seats in the case of Sinn Féin. Whereas Fianna Fáil has added 11 seats based on its 2020 results. So they've really had a much better day out here. And the same with Labour and the Social Democrats. It looks as though, when all is said and done, that they could both have 11 seats each, a block of 22, which is a pretty significant portion of the next Dáil.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, thank you very much for that. Kevin Doyle is with me, Group Head of News with Independent Newspapers. I put Sean, Kevin, in an awkward position at the weekend here as part of our coverage because I asked him to imagine he was editing a newspaper and what the headline to sum up this. Somebody is paying no attention to counts or anything else and they pick up a newspaper. They just want to know what happened. What would the headline be or what would the first sentence be? That's hard for him. That's easy for you to imagine. So what is it? What's the kind of the one sentence summary of this election?
Micheál Martin to be back as Taoiseach as opposition rejected.
Wow, that's it.
I mean, there's two stories here. One is Micheál Martin, the first Fianna Fáil leader to never be Taoiseach, as he used to be known, will now be Taoiseach twice. That for the best part of a decade, that was the narrative around Micheál Martin, was that he would never be Taoiseach. Then he wasn't supposed to survive confidence and supply. Then he wasn't supposed to survive that election where he went in with Leo Varadkar. And here he is back again at the top of Irish politics. And he won't be the next president because he'll be too busy being Taoiseach.
Well, is that a reflection of Micheál Martin's personal skill as a politician, or is he a lucky general?
Well, I don't think you'd call him a lucky general, given that he took over after the mess of the crash. He took Fianna Fáil at their worst ebb. He took them when they sank down to their lowest ever election results and people thought that they were dead. So I don't think you can call him lucky. It's probably his longevity. He stuck with it. You know, most political careers end in failure. There were many times when his career could have ended in failure, but he stuck with it and his day has come.
When did he come closest to that? When was his position most perilous?
Probably around confidence and supply. I think there was a lot of people in the party at that stage who were very uncomfortable with the idea that they were propping up the government. And they felt that that let Sinn Féin grow. And there's an argument that that is true, and that played out subsequently. I think by the time he did the deal with Leo Varadkar, he was heading into the Taoiseach's office. And the Taoiseach's office does bring a certain level of safety. So I think it came before that. It's a lot more to have a heave against a Taoiseach than it is to have a heave against a party leader. So I think he has been safe for the last few years. But you remember, if you go back 6, 7, 8 years ago, every couple of months there was rumours of a heave and a cabal in Fianna Fáil who wanted to get Micheál Martin out.
I want to talk to you about Fine Gael, who you didn't mention in your one-word summary there, the junior coalition partner, I guess we could describe them as, and Sinn Féin, the opposition, in a moment. But in terms of the makeup of the next government, you know, it was Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil plus smaller party had been the narrative maybe early in the weekend, or certainly when the dream of the Sinn Féin 50-seater kind of dissipated. That was the narrative. And then it has become Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael independence. Is that fair?
Yeah, so I think the seat bounce that Fianna Fáil in particular have got has been very significant. And a good few of those seats are off the back of Fine Gael actually helping them across the line. So if you look at Charlie McConnellogue in Donegal is a good example of this, where for a long part of the weekend, the story was Charlie McConnellogue has lost his seat. But actually, because Fine Gael had two candidates there who ate up a lot of votes, they actually managed in the end to help him get back in. So Fianna Fáil have benefited more than Fine Gael in a lot of places, and that's probably because they had more recognisable faces, more incumbents, and the real trick is to be ahead after the first preferences. Yeah. So in terms of where it goes for coalition, the big two will go back together. You're right, the talk was a smaller party. I think as the week has gone on, I mean, they almost don't want Sock Dems to come near them. I mean, I think they've made that slightly apparent. They would be keen on Labour. It would definitely, even still, I think there would be a keenness on Labour, because in some ways it would give them a level of cleanness or newness, if you like, to have somebody like the Labour Party come in with them after they had a good day at the polls. But the truth of it
there's an institutional memory as well. I mean, they've both been in government with Labour before, and there's people within that Labour Party, Jed Nash and others, who have been around.
Yeah,
and know what it's like to sit on the government benches.
Yeah, you've people like Jed Nash, Alan Kelly, Rana Bacik, who are at a certain point in their political careers as well, where 5 years seems like a long time and anything can happen in
this
5 years.
This might be their chance to sit around a cabinet table, and if they don't take it, well, there might not be another one.
If you're Rana Bacik and you want a shot, Rana Bacik, obviously barrister, if you want a shot at being a justice minister or something in that space, this might be your best chance at that, rather than waiting and saying, let's build and see where we are in 5 years. Then you have younger people in the party, say like Duncan Smith, who got his own seat in Fingal, but also in Fingal East, West, the constituency next door, another younger candidate, Robert Donoghue, getting in there. You might be going, well, no, actually, let's grow the party. Let's not go in and get beaten up like we did last time and end up ceding all that ground to Sinn Féin and the Sock Dems in 5 years. So there's games within games when you look at the parties. And that's why it might be easier to go away and promise a few roads and a few bridges and a few schools to some independents and get them on board.
Verona Murphy is an independent TD in Wexford. Verona, is it schools or bridges that you're looking for?
Both. No, look at the reality here is I hear everything that Kevin and Sean and from the perspective of government being more comfortable where they're at. They have higher numbers than the last time, but at the same time, there's a long way to go in 5 years, and we saw how many they lost through the whip system and other ways the last time. So I think that although 87 is the magic number, they need some form of a cushion.
But in terms of possible negotiation, and I don't expect you to play your card here on national radio, at the same time, you know, if it were a party, if it were the Soc Dems or Labour, we'd have a manifesto we could compare to Fine Gael. I mean, what would be the issues you would seek to highlight that would be important to you in any government negotiation?
Yeah, and look, you know, I'm a member of the regional group. Ciarán, you'll have heard me speak many times. Any independents that were elected quite strongly from the rural and regional areas. And I have been consistent in what I've been saying. I mean, housing is a huge problem. The frustration on the doorsteps, and I think this is primarily where the difference is. I'm on the ground all the time. And I mean all the time. I traversed the whole county of Wexford from my last 33rd Dáil. And what you hear all the time is, well, we see them on social media, but we never see them at the door or at any events. I'm on the ground, I'm listening. And I think there are so many differences between rural Ireland and the urban-centric government and cities generally, Dublin, Limerick, Cork and Galway. Housing is different in Wexford. We're not looking to build at high density, but we're lumbered with a planning policy that is high density. And it's based on a transport-orientated infrastructure, which we don't have in Wexford. So we're being dictated to with the same policy as Dublin. We're being told build apartments. Nobody wants to live in them and nobody can afford them. The first home scheme doesn't even apply to people in Wexford because it's capped at €350,000 and the cheapest house new build in Wexford is currently €360,000. So these are the issues that people, it's still the same. Look, I know I topped the poll this time. There was a good 3,500 difference in the votes from me as an independent topping the poll and the next candidate, James Brown, who's a former junior minister. And I think the reality is I have been meeting people for 5 years. And nothing much has changed in the 5 years except that they can identify me as their voice. Because that's a lot of what we heard. They were still hearing nothing from the parties that they could identify with for themselves. So if your son or daughter is living at home in their 30s with no prospects of buying a house, and I'm offering solutions, I've said, you know, the four main components, I've repeated them. It's between, you know, we have to cure the supply issue. There are things we can do on the demand side. But in, you know, in Wexford, we don't have developers like Glenveagh and all those that you get in Dublin. We have small family builders who operate businesses through generations. And what they require is affordable finance in order to keep going. You know, and we're at a stage now where we've had a couple of sites close in Wexford due to viability. Another component that hasn't been listened to, viability has to become a planning consideration. And the Office of the Planning
and
Regulator...
What, Fiona, would you do in government, or what would you like government to do to make the development of land around Wexford Town or anywhere along the Duncannon line that you're so well known along, more viable?
Well, you see, here's the point. When I became an elected representative in my early term, they were developing a new county development plan. So that was around the 2022. At that time, the planning regulator, which was a new office, wrote to county councillors and told them to dezone lands all around the country. It's something that I and the 34 councillors, or 33 at that time in Wexford, were conflicting on. I wrote to them and asked them not to because the only purpose it would serve was to drive up land prices. 4 years later, we now have Minister Dara O'Brien writing to the county councils telling them to rezone more lands. Therein lies the problem. We have a 4 year gap. They made a mistake, and in rectifying it, it's taken 4 years. That's a massive, that's 150,000 houses gone. Because of a mistake. And in the same vein, when
the independent, the regional independence group doesn't have a DeLorean, so you can't go back and unmake that mistake. I mean, have the government already solved that problem?
For 4 years.
No, I know, I appreciate the point, but any coalition negotiations will have to be forward looking. And if you're saying that, you know, we need to rezone land and in the same breath acknowledge that the government are doing that, then what is your ask?
They are writing, but they're not putting a timeline on it. What I'm saying is that would need to happen in the next 8 weeks. And then we have to look at the Apple money and say that, right, we've neglected, everybody knows that we've neglected to invest in the infrastructure that supports housing and the supposed targets government want to get to. Well, like, the targets are fine, but the infrastructure does not support reaching the targets or increasing them. We don't have water, we don't have sewage, we don't have the roads, we don't have the energy in the right places. And here's the problem. They dezoned, in some parts of the country, service lands. They're not putting a timeline on having those rezoned.
Yeah.
That's what has to be a priority. After that, viability immediately needs to become a planning consideration in Dublin, where we would have said it was the only place that matches the planning policy because it has a transport-orientated infrastructure. There are 50,000 units of planning that won't go ahead because of viability.
Yeah.
And then similar problems are now occurring whereby they can't get finance either.
Kevin Doyle is still... Kevin Doyle is still with me, Verona. I mean, nothing strikes me there as entirely incompatible with Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
No, I mean, the reality is that when if they decide to do a group, and the one thing I don't hear Verona saying is that she would like to be Minister for Housing. And that, to me, means that perhaps, and maybe you can ask, but perhaps Verona is thinking of a deal where she's not actually in government, but that she will vote with the government if they promise to do certain things around certain pieces of legislation and investment. And that is probably what Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would like, so that they don't have to give away a load of junior ministries like they did in the Shane Ross era, that they can do that kind of a deal. And then they would basically have to have their door open constantly to the likes of Verona so she can come back every few months with whatever the next problem is. And that's something they have to manage, but it has been done in the past. Mm. The Bertie Ahern has done it. It worked with the Independent Alliance in a slightly different way. It's worked with the likes of Michael Lowry consistently over the years, even though they deny it. But there is a door open in government buildings for people, for independents who will support the government week in, week out.
Verona, would you support the government for the right deal from outside the cabinet room?
I would talk to anybody who can make common sense prevail. And I think that's where the issue has been. These are common sense solutions. On the demand side, we need common sense. Government needs to reduce its tax take from, as the current tax take on a new build is about 48%. If we don't do something radical with the supply and demand side, like I'm talking to you about, it's not going to work. Okay. I'm not going in. It's not about me. It's about the country. It's about getting housing moving. It's about getting transport moving. I could be the minister for anything, but it's not because I want to be the minister. I'm offering real solutions. Government need to come towards those common sense solutions.
Verona, listen, thanks a million for joining us. Verona Murphy, Independent TD for Wexford. I should have said congratulations, Verona, on the re-election. I can't remember if I was talking to you over the weekend or not. I spoke to so many people. But anyway, Kevin, before I let you go, I know I said we'd talk about Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. We're going to come back to this later in the show, so I might park those conversations for there. But I just want to ask about housing, given it's what Verona brought up. In a way, it's kind of the thing that I find most confusing about this campaign is that it was the housing general election, much like the last election was the housing general election. And we had a period whereby the government could point to, you know, increased building and more planning permissions and more activations and more commencement notices and more social housing and all of this. At the same time, house prices went up, rent went up, homelessness went up, record homelessness figures announced on the day of the election. And the government and the people, in light of all of that, re-elected the same government.
This is difficult for me now, Kieran, because you gave the answer in the question. But the truth is, this was supposed to be the housing election. And in fairness to Sinn Féin, they put a very different housing policy on the table for people to look at. Really, really different from what the government has in Housing for All. And at the end of it, I'm not entirely sure what the people decided they wanted, because there's no clear evidence that, apart from Dara O'Brien's personal vote in Malahide, there's no clear evidence that people are convinced that the government strategy is working. But perhaps there was fear to go with a new way, to change the direction of travel at this point. And I think perhaps in the latter days, that debate around would the banks give money to the Sinn Féin proposition, would they lend mortgages for the affordable housing scheme, maybe that hit home with a few people. But I don't think the housing question is answered by this election at all.
One listener says, Verona's part of the problem within Wexford and beyond is she concentrates on parish pump politics rather than representing all people all over the country. Do you know one thing I find fascinating? Verona's not the only person who's going to be accused of that type of thing. Yet Tony Gregory is lauded, and the Gregory deal, I mean, it was a masterstroke. That's parish pump politics.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't say one is a hero to the working class and the other is kind of some Gambian politician from the countryside, which is what you get.
Yeah, but Kieran, Verona could be minister for anything.
she could.
She shouldn't limit herself to parish pump.
I like someone with broad horizons. Verona Murphy, Independent TD for Wexford. Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. And Kevin, thank you. Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at Independent Newspapers.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.